Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The work of the Spirit. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In our faith, we have three important festivals. Pentecost is one of those festivals. The other two are Easter and Christmas, Christmas and Easter. But if we are asked to remove one of them, which one we will remove? Should we remove Pentecost? Pentecost is not that commercialized, but I know Easter is commercialized. Christmas is commercialized. But if we remove Pentecost, then we lose the meaning of Christmas and Easter, because Pentecost gives us the meaning of why Jesus came to this world. Pentecost gives us the meaning of why Jesus had to die on the cross and rise again the third day. The Holy Spirit gives us meaning to these festivals. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, none of us will be able to say Jesus is Lord. That's what Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us understanding, the one who gives us the meaning. Before we go forward, I want to make some observation, and then let's see how we get into our main discussion. Was the Holy Spirit not available in the Old Testament? On the day of Pentecost, he came very powerfully. And if that is the case, was he absent in the Old Testament? No, not at all. He was always there. In the Old Testament, he is one among the triune God and one among the Trinity, and he was always there. But in the Old Testament, he was given to some people for some period, for some task. But that's not the case anymore. As Joel prophesied, he is granted to all flesh. So he is available to all of us. So he was present in the Old Testament, but now in a new way, he is available and he is with us all. The second observation that I want to pick up is Pentecost Day was a highly dramatic day. Wind blowing, a big sound coming, tongues of fire coming and resting on the disciples. Why it is so? Why it is not so nowadays? why it was so dramatic on that day of Pentecost, and that was not the case after that. This question is very simple, but it's very important because that's the inauguration day. That's the day a new period or new era started. So it's an opening ceremony where the church began. So it is dramatic. It is a very important day. So the Holy Spirit exhibited his power in a very unique way on that day. It's a memorable day. A new era began. The third thing that I want to pick up before we go to the next is that Holy Spirit is not, we are not able to see him. When Jesus was present on this earth, they were able to embrace him. They were able to touch him, feel him. I mean, that's not the case with the Holy Spirit. He is with us now, but we are not able to see him. Does that mean he is simply a force? Is he simply a power? Is that what we get to believe? No, no, not at all. Jesus refers him using personal, using pronouns. When he comes, when Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth. So he is addressed as a person. Anthropologists say three attributes make up personality. What are the three attributes? Intellect, will, and emotion. Intellect, will, and emotion. And he is a person because we can grieve him. We can give him pain because he is a person. We can quench him. He is wanting to use us and we can stop him. He is a person. And when you read Acts chapter 13, the first words you will notice, the Holy Spirit tell the church in Antioch, set out Barnabas and Paul for my work. Don't keep them here. He has a will. He has a plan. So Holy Spirit is not just an unseen force or a power. He is a person, but unseen person dwelling among us. During dark years or the medieval period, church built in those days when church were building domes. On Pentecost day, doves were sent out of these domes. Buckets of rose petals poured on the congregation, symbolizing the tongues of fire coming and resting on the disciples. This is the way they remembered the Pentecost day. Is Pentecost day then a remembrance day? Is it the day that we are to come and simply remember? Is it once a year celebration? That's it? No, not at all. That's not the case. The Holy Spirit is with us. We have indeed put these flames and also we have changed our liturgical color for this day. Red, I have red stole. It's all just to reminding us about the power of the Holy Spirit which is among us, the fire which is the presence of God among us. But it is not a remembrance day. The Holy Spirit is wanting to fill us. He is available so that he can take control of our lives. We want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We want to lead a spirit-filled life. So let's not think that this is a remembrance day. No, not at all. We are reminding ourselves that he is available and I want to be filled by him. John the Baptist said, don't look at me. you have to look at the one who comes after me. He is the one who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the resurrection promise. Go and wait until go and wait for the Holy Spirit. This is an act of God. We have not asked for it. We did not know the meaning of it. But God, in His grace, has poured the Holy Spirit on us. None of us demanded it or asked for it or commanded it. No. This is God's blessing poured upon us. He graciously gave us the Holy Spirit. This is given to us. We have received Him not because we are good people, not because we are great people, not because we have done great things. No. God, in His wisdom, He chose to grant Holy Spirit to all of us. Now the question comes, why He is being given? Why He is given? Now, there are four things that I want to quickly bring for our discussion today. When Nick read, he said, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, is going to be sent. In other translation, Advocate. And in some other translation, Counselor. In other translation, Comforter. But in Greek, it is Paraclete. In some translation, they simply put Paraclete. Jesus is talking to His disciples because they were worried. They were troubled because Jesus said He was going to go. Jesus said, I am going. That is good for you. I am going to send Paraclete. When I was present with you, I was present at the same place once. I could not be there all the places. When He was in Galilee, He was in Galilee. He was not in Jerusalem. But He said, the one who is going to come, He is Paraclete, and He is going to be with you all the time in all the places. And He will fill the place which I have, which I filled in your lives. He will replace me. He will be with you all the time. Now you are worried that I was going away, but don't worry. Advocate will come. Scholars have a problem with translating this word Paraclete. So that's the reason these words came: helper, advocate, counselor, comforter, all these words came. Very simple way to understand. It's something like, I cannot do anything by myself. I need a support. I need a help. The Holy Spirit comes in and goes along with me. When you are in the court, you are not able to argue your case. The advocate is there to argue your case. You are not able to help yourself because you are weak, you are fragile. But He comes and joins with you and helps you. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He doesn't come with a judging voice. No, He comes as Jesus came. He comes to you with the gentleness, with the tender voice, with a willingness to embrace you. Is exactly like Jesus. He's not coming to judge you. He comes and embraces you. We read the lesson from Ezekiel. The lesson talks about dry bones coming to life. No life at all. There's no hope at all. Dry bones. No life. But when the wind blew, when He prophesied, they stood like a big army. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, we are powerless, we are helpless, we are fragile, we are weak, we are limited. and he comes and stands with us, and we are filled with that power. Yes, we need his help, and he comes along and he goes with us. I read this prayer somewhere, very interesting. Let me read this prayer. So far today, Lord, I have done all right. I haven't gossiped. I have not lost my temper. I have not been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I am thankful for that. But in a few moments, Lord, I am going to get out of bed. And from now on, I am going to need a lot of help. This is the Holy Spirit. He comes and helps us in our weakness. He comes and helps us in all areas of our life. Jesus says very beautifully in this passage, when Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. There are three things he said that. So I want to pick up one by one. About sin, because they don't believe in Jesus. About sin, because they don't believe in Jesus. Why sin is related to people not believing in Jesus? We will discuss that. The Holy Spirit is something. Is like a man with a lamp entering a dark and dirty room. Because we lived in a room which is full of darkness and dirtiness, and we have accustomed to the darkness. We are filled with the dirty around us. We live in that darkness, and the Holy Spirit comes with the light. He comes with the light to show the way to Jesus. So he proves the world or convinces the world. Again, here there is a problem. When Holy Spirit comes, he proves the world or he convicts the world. I think the word proves, convicts, are all have got some problem. But I would say he convinced the world. He convinced the world that, you know, you have a way out. We are accustomed to the darkness in the world, but he comes with the light to show the way. You know, law is telling us that we are sinners. The ministry of law is of no big help. It is something like, what is law? You stand in front of your in front of the mirror. When you stand in front of the law, you feel ashamed. You feel bad because I am sinned. I have sinned, and I am a sinner. That gives me a bad feeling. So the ministry of law did not help me much, but the Holy Spirit comes and shows the light, and that light leads me to Jesus. What is the greatest sin? What is the greatest sin? Is it murder? Is it adultery? Is it stealing? No. The greatest sin is not believing in Jesus. God has sent Jesus as the only way to him. And if you don't receive, if you don't receive him, if you don't come to him, that is considered as sin. He convinces the world about sin because they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus, so the Holy Spirit comes and convinces people, this is the only way through which you can be saved. If you don't receive it, there is no other way. He convinces the people. Jesus is the only way. When Holy Spirit comes, He convinces the people about righteousness. Because Jesus is no longer in the world and we don't see Him any longer. So He comes in the place to talk about righteousness. What is righteousness? I want to give a small understanding of it. You are right with God and you are right with one another. Righteousness. But are we right with God? No. Are we right with one another? No. The Lord Jesus came to this world to set it everything right. And He died for us on the cross and rose again the third day. With that, He made us right with God. With that, He made right with one another. So the Holy Spirit comes and convinces that you are righteous. We are righteous. Jesus is not physically present with us, but Holy Spirit is with us, and He says that you are righteous. You are righteous not because you have done everything perfectly in your life. No, you are righteous because Jesus has done everything for you on the cross. He is convincing you that you are righteous. You are the child of God. A police station received a phone call saying that in our village road, a girl is driving her car reverse all the time. She is driving her car backwards, and that's dangerous. Come and stop her. So the police came to that village and stopped her. And then they asked her, "Why are you doing so? You have been driving your car backwards." She said, "My grandfather gave this car, and he gave this car with a lot of mileage in the odometer, and I'm driving my car in the reverse to unwind the odometer or the mileage." Are we trying to do that? Are we trying to unwind our past? The Holy Spirit says that everything is taken care. You are righteous. You are righteous. You enjoy the righteousness that is given to you. You are right with God and you are right with one another. The Holy Spirit comes and convince the world about judgment. Why? Because the ruler of the world is contemned. The prince of the world is judged. Satan is judged. So you don't need to give attention to him. He is defeated. He is defeated. He is tempting still people, saying that he is holding power. He is still tempting people to draw people away from the Lord. He tempted Adam and Eve, and they yielded, and sin came to this world. And he is again influencing people to rebel against God. Remember the temptation that Jesus faced. He showed the entire world saying that everything is with me. I am in control. If you just bow before me, I am going to give you the entire world. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. Worship only the Lord God." And Satan is still working in this world, trying to attract people, trying to tempt people, and he is tempting people. And the Holy Spirit comes and says that he is judged, he is contemned, he is defeated. It may appear that he is winning, but he is a defeated person. The Holy Spirit convinces us that Satan is defeated and he is contemned. So the Holy Spirit says that don't look at Satan, but look at Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God, the Father. Your eyes should be fixed on the Lord, who is victorious. And Satan is dealt with. I don't think we lack Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to all of us. If you believe in Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I'm quite sure this is not your doing. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So the Holy Spirit is given unto you. But the question is he taking control of your life? The question is he filling you? Or is he simply coming into the first room of your house and stays there? Is he just a visitor in your house? When I go into my house, I can go to all the rooms of my house, even to the kitchen. Wherever I see something to eat, I can open the box and eat. But if I go to somebody else's house, I have to wait for their permission to enter into all the rooms. If they invite me, then only I can go to their kitchen or their bedrooms. Otherwise, I have to stay in the front room. Is Holy Spirit treated like that? Is he sitting in only one room of your life? Or is he taking part of every, is he coming to every room? Is he part of every, in every part of your life? That is the question we have to ask. A.G. Gordon once took some people to Niagara Falls. They all watched that power, the strong current. Someone in the group said, "Wow, this is awesome. The greatest unused power in the world is lying here." But the preacher looked at him and said, No. The greatest unused power is the Holy Spirit. He is poured among us, but he is not active as he should be. He is full of power, but what we don't want him to control us, or we don't want him to take room, the full control of us. And D.L. Moody, that's the reason, said this prayer, and I want to finish with this prayer. And he said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a person who is fully consecrated to him." The world has yet to see what God can do with a person who is fully consecrated to him. I wish to be the person. May we say that prayer every day. The Holy Spirit is willing to come and fill us. Give him his room, and he's more than willing to fill you. May the dear Lord help us so that we lead a spirit-filled life. God bless us all. Amen.